following programming is sponsored by Home Improvement Fix and Facts. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Saying in her sleep, brother's got a date to keep, you can't hang around.
Good morning and welcome to Our House here at WWDB. You are listening to Home Improvement Fix and Facts with Carol Holloway. And if you checked my Instagram or my Facebook page, I said today was action-packed. And it really is. We're covering a lot of topics today. There's a lot going on, so you want to stay tuned to the whole show, and I want to break it down real quick. About halfway through the show, we're going to have a really cool lady joining us. She is an M-A-R-D and L-D-N, which is all for registered dietitian. And we're going to be talking about whether your refrigerator needs a makeover, which is in conjunction with how do you pick a refrigerator? And I had questions about this when I said that we were talking about it this week. So you want to stay tuned to hear all about that. We also are going to be helping to kick off Lowe's $100 million community giveaway, for lack of a better word, and I'll bring that interview to you today as well, because they are giving communities that write to them a lot of money over the next 5 years. So you really want to stay tuned for that. Well, let's see. It's kind of a public service announcement that I'd like to do at the top of the hour. And we're going to have a call in real soon from John Lear, president and CEO of Parkinson's Foundation, and Susan Brown, living with Parkinson's disease and care center. Now, why would I pick an interview like this on a home improvement show? Because I want to bring awareness to people that when you don't have your health, and your health is everything, there's a lot of things you can't do, like improving your home, doing home repairs, being able to do the things that we take for granted every day. So I thought it would be a really great way to kick that interview off. And I'll come back to that in just a minute. And then another cool thing, Wes and I are going to be doing some sampling a little later. Wes is my board guy over there, my production manager, the guy who keeps everything running smoothly. But we have a new advertiser on our show called SkinnyDipped.com, and I'm going to tell you about them a little bit later on. But we're going to be sampling all kinds of candy. And we're going to be telling you about it in a commercial that we're going to be bringing up later on. But I just went bonkers over this product called Skinny Dipped because I love candy and I try really hard not to eat it. You can find them at SkinnyDipped.com. And what makes them so cool is there's like 60% less sugar in their products, and they have real non-GMO ingredients. Like their net carbs and all of that, or like for those of you that are trying to lose weight and everything, like this is an amazing kind of thing. So I was really excited when I found Skinny Dipped, and you'll hear more about it next week after we've sampled everything. But like, who would love chocolate with no stevia and no sugar alcohols in it? I would. So real quick, Parkinson's disease affects nearly 1 million Americans. That's a lot of people, and more than 60,000 new cases are diagnosed each year. And today, I would like to do this public service announcement for all of you out there, even though we are a home improvement show, because we want to learn firsthand how this disease impacts individuals living with the disease and how it affects their families. And Susan Brown is a person who living with Parkinson's disease, as well as a caregiver for her father, who also has Parkinson's disease. Plus, we're also joined by John Lear, who is the CEO of the nonprofit Parkinson's Foundation. So let's just take a minute and welcome them both to the show, and let's get some details on this. Hey, Susan, John, thank you for joining us this morning on WWDB.
Hi, good morning. Thank you.
Good morning.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, thank you. You know, we are a home improvement show, but I think that the quality of life affects everybody, and that's why I wanted to do this public service announcement on Parkinson's disease and awareness to our listeners, because you never know who's listening, and you never know who this is going to bring news to and who it's going to affect. So, Susan, can you share your experience with Parkinson's and serving as a Parkinson's caregiver?
Sure. I am 54. Oh boy, I'll be 55 in a week, actually.
Oh, you can't even reverse those numbers.
No, you cannot. But my father, who is now 78, was diagnosed in his mid-50s with Parkinson's. He was, you know, still working. I was I was a young adult starting a family. And so our family has been living with the disease for almost 30 years. I was diagnosed 4 years ago, and I probably was experiencing symptoms since I had been about 45.
Wow.
So it was not unfamiliar.
What were some of those symptoms, Susan, that you said you had started to experience them? That's young.
Yes, it was. Well, you know, some of them were things that we attributed to other issues. You know, my hand sort of was stiff, and they said, well, you have carpal tunnel, you know, and I my foot was sort of stiff and didn't feel right and was sort of dragging, and someone said, well, you have plantar fasciitis. You know, I mean, we sort of went through trying to treat all these things separately.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the thing that probably stood out the most for me was I was driving my daughter to summer camp, and my foot was shaking while I was on the highway driving. And I thought that was odd, and then it started shaking when I would put on my makeup in the morning, getting ready for work. So, you know, I'd seen enough of my father's symptoms, and I thought, boy, I better go get this checked out after that tremor started. And sure enough, I was diagnosed. But, you know, the symptoms are different for everybody, so you sort of have to follow up.
Mm-hmm. How hard is it having Parkinson's and taking care of your dad?
Well, you know, I mean, I would say it's hard for everybody that's a caregiver, right? Because trying to do that and balance your own needs and your family. But I think that taking care of my father, I probably am a better caregiver than I might have been before because I'm more empathetic.
Mm-hmm.
I really understand what he's going through. I think the trick is that, you know, I'm still working full time. I have two children who are in college and high school, and so I have to be really efficient. I don't mean that to sound like I'm not trying to be a caring person, but there's not a lot of time. And so, I mean, like, for instance, I book my neurology appointment with my dad's.
Wow, that's smart.
You know, try to do things where we are both doing things together and communicating with the same doctor and that kind of thing. But I think one of the challenges is maybe for me not to assume that his path is going to be the same as mine.
Uh-huh.
Right? So Parkinson's is a progression that's very different for everybody. So I can't assume my father's journey is going to be the same as mine is, and you would hope that it won't with developments in drug therapy.
Hopefully yours will be less, which brings me to John. John, why is early detection so important?
Yeah, I think you know, a lot of the things that Susan said are relevant to that question. So, you know, one of the things we've learned over the last decade is the importance of exercise. And, you know, to treating Parkinson's or helping keep Parkinson's at bay. And so the earlier you know about it, there's a couple of psychological benefits to that. One, you're no longer guessing, what does this mean, right? You get an answer, and then you can start dealing with the issue. And then you can get on a regimen of exercise and medications that are really going to allow you to live life as best as you possibly can, you know, as functionally as you possibly can. And so, you know, again, the exercise thing is such an important part of the equation today. And we really do encourage people to get exercising, whatever the way you want to exercise, but get exercising as early as possible. It does the body enormous good in terms of, you know, dealing with Parkinson's symptoms.
Are there any new treatments or a possible cure coming down the road? You know, we've heard about this for so long.
Yeah. You know, so the challenge with Parkinson's is it is a very complex disease. And so some of the basic underlying mechanisms of the disease are still unknown. The main therapy in Parkinson's is called carbidopa-levodopa. It Whoa. Is a dopamine replacement therapy. I know, it's a big word. it's also known by Sinemet. That's the drug most people take. What it does is it replaces the dopamine in your brain that you're losing, and that's really important for motor symptoms. Unfortunately, there's no cure for Parkinson's yet, but we're working on it. We're tweaking the medications to make to keep the symptoms at bay. But at the same time, we're really looking to, you know, have better therapies that will, medications that will correct the underlying defect. We're working very hard at it. We're making a lot of progress. There's a lot of exciting things on the horizon. But right now, we really are dealing with dopamine replacement therapy is the main therapy.
And not really a sign of a possible cure down the road yet?
I would say, you know, there's always a possibility for a breakthrough, right?
Okay.
There's lots of scientists and researchers working on it, but I would not say any time in the next couple of years that we see.
Mm-hmm. Susan, you said that you started noticing symptoms at 45, but does it mm-hmm. impact younger individuals?
Yes. I mean, you know, you can, I've heard of people, in fact, I've met some folks that were diagnosed in their 20s, so I mean, that's a smaller group of people. I think, John, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the young onset, which is under at the age of 50, is about 4% of the Parkinson's patients.
Mm-hmm.
I sat next to a researcher from the Parkinson's Foundation one time who said, you know, you're a woman, you're under 50, you're a unicorn, you know.
Wow.
Well, okay. A nice way to, so, I mean, I would say I'm a smaller group of that larger million people in the United States. But, you know, I think with young onset, I've been told it may progress a bit slower
mm-hmm.
Than if you were, you know, your grandfather may have been diagnosed at 75. I think for me, one of the issues is because I'm still sort of I'm in the middle of raising a family and taking care of my parents. You know, I have to manage fatigue. I have to manage my sleep. You know, sleep disturbances are very common in mm-hmm. Parkinson's. And just watch out for those things. And, you know, you pick priorities.
Right.
You decide, well, you know, maybe dinner's not that important. I'm going to go to the school open house and I'm going to use up my energy that way.
Mm-hmm.
So you make different decisions than you might otherwise. But the exercise, I will reiterate what John said. The exercise is a game changer.
Mm-hmm.
You feel better, and they think it may slow the progression. So you got to do it.
Absolutely.
Got to get up.
With over 1 million people dealing with this, what kinds of resources are available out there, John?
Yeah, so we have a helpline, 1-800-4-PD-INFO. Which is available during business hours in the United States, and anybody can call that number, and they'll be talking to a Parkinson's expert on the other end. And then we have our website, which is parkinson.org. Both of those provide enormous resources. One, you're going to be talking to somebody. The other one, you're going to have a chance to look at all the materials we've put together over the years.
Oh, those are great resources, and we'll have them here on the show. But real quick, I know I have to wrap this up, but what should someone do if they have symptoms or suspect that a family member might have it? Because especially if you're getting older, you attribute things to old age.
Yeah. Well, what I would say is for anybody concerned about a diagnosis, as a first step, you can go to our website, parkinson.org, or call our helpline, and then then I would make an appointment with a neurologist, somebody who specializes in movement disorders like Parkinson's, get an appointment. It may take some time, so if you're concerned about it, call a physician that you are recommended or for good things about, and get an appointment as soon as possible.
All right. Well, I thank you both for joining us and bringing awareness on World Parkinson's Day and more that we can do, and I'll give those numbers out again. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you. So listeners, I just want to repeat that one more time, that there is a helpline out there at 1-800-4-PD-INFO, I-N-F-O, and there's also a Parkinson's disease hotline, which is parkinsons.org. The reason I brought this up is because you never know when it's going to affect you. And, you could be that contractor out there swinging that hammer, day in and day out, and all of a sudden you don't have that steadiness that you had before. So, things can affect us at any day, at any time. Remember 2 weeks ago, I asked you to snap your fingers. And, I was saying that's how quickly life can change. So just to bring a little awareness, I think is really important. So let's get to today's topic. Yay! Again, you're listening to Home Improvement Fix and Facts with Carol Holloway. Remember, the lines are open at 888-329-3306. You can always follow me on Instagram and Facebook, where people often send me messages. They IM with messages and interesting ideas and topics for shows, as well as a whole assortment of other things. And remember, you can always listen to the podcast here at WWDB. It's usually up later in the day. You can just go to WWDBAM and click on the Home Improvement Fix and Facts link, and anything that you might have heard or missed, or that you want to check out previous shows, please do so. So I had gotten questions. This was really funny. I mentioned that I wanted to talk about the refrigerator. And one of the biggest questions that I found out there was counter versus standard. What's the difference? What's the difference between counter versus standard? And it's really crazy because there's a lot of different factors. And I remember going into somebody's house, probably it was last year, and I was like, oh, you when you bought your new refrigerator, you really should have gotten a counter dip refrigerator. And they're like, but I did. And I'm like, you did? Really? It sticks out so far. The reason for that is counter dip refrigerators, while they tend to be shallower than standard depth refrigerators, they're generally a little wider and a little taller. So in this particular case, the person that had the refrigerator had a counter depth refrigerator, but it was 27 inches deep. So now, think about this. When you put your countertops in, a standard countertop in a kitchen over top of your cabinets is 25 inches. Some people might make it a little shorter, 24. Your cabinets are 24, but they might make it 24 and a half just to save a little bit. But remember, those handles stick out too. So a typical counter depth refrigerator can range anywhere from 23 to 27 inches deep. So the shallower the depth, the easier it makes it to grab an item near the back of the refrigerator, of course, just like your countertop. And it provides a very much blended look into your kitchen without this big thing sticking out into the space. Counter depth refrigerators definitely give an appearance of being built in, but they're not. They're not built-in refrigerators, although you can get those. And the fridge still sits flush with the countertop. However, the door may look like the unit sticks out because a door can add an additional 2 to 3 inches. So let's make this clear. When you get a counter depth refrigerator, there's a range on those, 23 to 27 inches. But remember, the doors stick out, and you want those doors to be open, able to open and clear your countertop. So there is going to be additional room there, 2 to 3 inches, to provide for the doors being able to open and close. You don't have to remodel a kitchen to install one of these. If you have a countertop or a big bulky old refrigerator, you might want to look at putting a counter depth refrigerator in. Now, I'm going to bring you some information about high-end counter depth refrigerators because there's a little bit of difference. But the thing that's really good to know if you're putting a refrigerator into your kitchen, you don't really need specific cutouts in your cabinets. You know, you just figure out where you want it to go. And you just have to make sure that you have enough room that you can open it so the doors can swing clear of any cabinetry or side panels that you might be putting into your kitchen. These refrigerators definitely give you a more seamless look in your kitchen, in my opinion. I love them. That is my go-to refrigerator when putting a brand new kitchen together for somebody. Because it just looks better. And like I said, you can go wider. And if you have a super, super duper large kitchen, some people will do side by side. They'll do one that's a freezer, and then a refrigerator, or they might have two refrigerators in their house. Is that a his and hers? But they might have two refrigerators in their house because they have a larger family and they need to keep lots of things in the refrigerator, as opposed to many people that have that old refrigerator out in the garage, you know, to store all the extra beer and wine and things like that in when you're having a party. So there is definitely a difference in the way the refrigerators work in that space. So you want to make sure that you have those measurements very clearly if you are taking a refrigerator out and putting a new one in. Make sure you look at all that. But what's really important too is luxury appliances, luxury refrigerators. This is what I love, high-end refrigerator model brands, and typically they offer counter depth and built-in refrigerators. But these models take into consideration that you have a door that still has to swing open. So their depth is often 24 inches or less, allowing you for even a more seamless look in your kitchen. And built-ins give you even more of that counter depth perspective. Now, remember, the door adds some depth. The average counter cabinets in your kitchen are 24 inches. So you want to make sure that when you're going high end, you're making sure that you get something that is going to work efficiently and fit the space properly. They're expensive. I love high end refrigerators. Love, love, love. I mean, there's so many stunning things about them. You know, and people say, is a high end refrigerator worth it? In my opinion, high end appliances are always worth it. But we can't always afford high-end appliances. So that is really something that we need to consider. And I'm going to break them down in a couple minutes, like what's the difference between a regular refrigerator and a Sub-Zero. You know, unlike normal refrigerators, Sub-Zero refrigerators employ an active vacuum seal to prevent outside air from entering into the refrigerator interior. And it works in concert with air purifiers to extend the life of your food. So there are a lot of reasons why, and I like Sub-Zero, and I'll give you some more brands, but there are a lot of reasons why you might want to consider a luxury brand refrigerator over other appliances that are out there. But we can't all afford them. And lead times right now are still ridiculous, as we know. It's really been crazy with lead times on refrigerators and trying to get everything in a timely fashion, you know, adding to the fact that, you know, we're still having issues with getting our parts in, our cabinets in, a shortage of skilled workers like plumbers and electricians and countertop cutters has become more difficult when you're trying to get your kitchen done. Meanwhile, rising home prices add to the fact that some people are looking at a new house and they can't necessarily put high end in there. But all of these things go into, you know, what is out there. And some of these refrigerators, delivery times for certain models of refrigerators, even stoves and dishwashers, can be 6 months to a year out. So you just don't settle for something because you can't necessarily get it when you want it. So I also want to share with you, because I told you we're going to be action-packed and there's a lot of information in today's show, So I want to let you know that we have Delana Soto joining us today, and she thinks, and she's an RN, so she knows that, first of all, there's a lot of national March things, and March is National Nutrition Month, and it's definitely time to spring clean yourself into wellness. So that was part of the refrigerators. Do you need a new refrigerator in your kitchen, and do you need a makeover in your refrigerator? So I thought it would be fun to invite our expert on, a registered dietitian, to help us cut through all the clutter and get organized. You know, you just heard that with high-end appliances, with high-end refrigerators, they seal tighter, your food stays longer, and how many of us have things growing in the back of our refrigerator, like things that have expired. So we're going to talk to her, and Wes will let me know when she's on board. And we just want to get ourselves, organized, you know, create a fridgescape that looks like good enough to eat. So, and you know, how many times do we buy things? I know that I've been trying out different foods, new foods lately, and I'll get something and I'll open it and I'll put it in my fridge. I'm like, yeah, okay, that's kind of good. I don't want to waste it. And then it slowly gets pushed to the back of the refrigerator, which makes it really, really crazy. So we'll be talking to Delana Soto in just a minute. And then, so we just got a message here. Height of refrigerators. Thank you, Mary Lou, for your question. There's all different heights for refrigerators. And it depends on, you know, what you're doing, whether it's going in a cabinet, and how to decide what works best for you. It's always good to get the specs, but refrigerators, basically, like I said, the sizes can range from 24 inches deep to 40 inches deep. That's huge. And you can find heights 62 inches to 72 inches. That's kind of a standard that's out there. You know, there's the little apartment ones, but 62 to 72 inches in height is generally what's out there. And French door and side-by-side refrigerators are usually larger in width and height than counter depth refrigerators. So that's, you know, that's 10 inches of difference. So these are why it's really important to get specs for the refrigerators you like. Make your contractor aware, and when you're doing your cabinets in your house, to make them aware of the refrigerator that you're interested in, and making sure that it's going to fit within the space that you have. And I think that all of that is super important, that you have that communication going on. And the other thing that's really cool too is if you call Pico, they'll take away your old refrigerator. So I think that's pretty cool. I'm going to take just a really super quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back, and hopefully Delana will be with us and we'll be able to chat with her.
Mr. Rogers said, look for the helpers. Can always find people who are helping. Thank you to all the first responders who put their lives in danger to help us when my brothers and sisters need them. We look out for the helpers because they look out for us.
Thank you, first responders!
Thank you, first responders!
Help us help first responders in your community today. Go to firstrcf.org to learn more.
Hi, Toby Keith here. Like most of us, I love driving. Too many people die every year on America's roads. So always buckle up, slow down, drive sober, stay focused on driving.
I'm retired Sheriff John Wetzel. Every day, officers enforce traffic laws to keep our families safe on the road. So drive smart.
And do your part to save lives.
A message from the National Sheriff's Association.
If you came across a child struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes, their age, the way they speak? Would you recognize a 13-year-old boy who gets into fights at school,
not because he's a bully, but because he's hungry?
Or a 2-year-old girl who cries all night,
not because she's sick, but because she went to bed without enough to eat?
Or maybe a 9-year-old boy who hopes a friend invites him to a sleepover,
not for fun, just so he can have dinner.
Or a 15-year-old girl who goes for walks over lunch so her friends won't know she doesn't have anything to eat? I am the 1 in 7 American children who struggle with hunger. Kids you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am Child Hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
Charlie died after taking a single pill that turned out to be counterfeit.
He was having back issues, and it was a counterfeit poisonous pill.
Websites and social media selling fake medicines may look legitimate, but they're not. Drugs from these rogue pharmacies could have fillers like sawdust or deadly fentanyl.
He died in less than 15 minutes after taking the pill.
Now there's a free tool that can give you peace of mind. At safe.pharmacy, enter the pharmacy web address and you'll know if the site you're using is safe.
If you're not getting your prescriptions from a legitimate source, that next dose you take could be your last.
We just don't want other people to go through what we're going through. It's just horrific.
Go to safe.pharmacy. Find out about fake medicine on social media and if the site you're buying from is safe.
Yeah, but that's my life on the refrigerator.
Are they on? And we are back with... Well, here I am. We are on with Home Improvement Fix and Facts, and... we are having a hard time connecting with our Eggland's Best lady. Delana Soto is supposed to be joining us, and for some strange reason, she can't be getting through. I don't know why. 888-329-3306. We're going to keep her hanging there for a couple minutes and see if we can't connect with her in the next couple minutes. But going back to the question that you talked about, Mary Lou, the question that you sent me is, it's really important to measure properly for a refrigerator. And if you're wondering what refrigerator dimension best fits in your space, just get your measuring tape out. And there are guides out there that you can use to help you measure your refrigerator. And they measure differently, like French doors and side-by-sides are usually 67 inches to 70 inches in height. If you're doing like a bottom freezer or a top freezer, you'll usually find that those are 65 to 69 inches in height. And again, those can range anywhere in width from 24 inches up to 36 inches. And there's even massive ones out there. If you have like the space to put something huge. If your refrigerator has an island, you want to make sure that you can open your refrigerator doors and drawers without getting the refrigerator dinged. You want to make sure that there's enough space. So you usually want at least, in your kitchen, you usually want at least 36 inches anyway, because that makes it easy for a wheelchair to get by throughout your kitchen. And some people, if they have the room, like a bigger kitchen. So you want to, and some doors, believe it or not, it's not necessarily the doors, because the doors don't open as wide, especially when it's a French door. But if you have a drawer in your refrigerator, those drawers can open really wide. And it brings to mind, my husband is doing a kitchen right now, and there's this big, beautiful island going on with grout house wooden tops. And there is a refrigerator on one side of the island, and on the other side of the island is a dishwasher. And we're making that island a little bigger because they have more cabinet space. So, of course, you want to make sure that that dishwasher can open, that bottom drawer to the refrigerator can open. Now, here's the thing. Because those drawers open so deep in your refrigerator, I noticed, I went home after the client said, well, I usually stand in front of my refrigerator drawer to open it, the freezer drawer, to open it to try to get to all the stuff that I have in there. And I was like, huh. And I'm standing there and I'm like standing to the side. And I went home and did it at my house. And I stand to the side to get into my freezer because I feel like I can reach deeper back. So you have to keep that in mind when you are doing your refrigerators and you're putting your islands in your kitchen. There's a lot that goes into play with making space in your kitchen. So I am just getting a notice here because we're having such a hard time getting through to our people. I don't know why we're having a hard time, but we're going to see if maybe we can pick that interview up. If we can't get through to them, we might still run it tomorrow and do it tomorrow. I'm going to see what we can do to get that because they're trying to call and they keep saying they're getting a busy signal. So let me see if we can get some time back and see if we can't do something. Let me just answer them. Before, let's tell them before 8:45, because I'd love to talk to her if possible. And again, the lines are open at 888-329-3306. I have no clue why they can't get through. I am just puzzled by that. Anyway, going back to refrigerators, and I don't want to put any dampening on what she's going to be talking about, because that's part of the conversation. So I'm going to try to stay away from that a little bit. But there are guides anyway online if you are looking at your refrigerator. Remember that they can be really big. And remember, if your refrigerator is located next to a wall, you need to leave at least 3 inches, 3 3/4 inches between the wall and the hinge on the side of the refrigerator so it can swing open. But one thing that I have found in refrigerators lately that I love, and I personally would go nuts seeing that 3-inch gap, that almost 4-inch gap. There are refrigerators now that when the doors swing open, they don't swing out wider than the refrigerator. And I hope you all go and check your refrigerator out and see how those doors swing open. They actually swing within the width of the refrigerator now with the way the hinges are. Love that look. I absolutely love that look for the refrigerators to be able to do that. And it gives you just a cleaner look, and it gives you, allows you to go a little wider on the refrigerator if you want to, without having to have those extra spaces and that all that dead space around your refrigerator if it's next to a wall. So make sure that you look at the refrigerator. People don't think of this. They just go, they open the refrigerator doors and they're like, okay, I like this one. But you don't think about how far those doors extend past the actual size of the refrigerator and how far they extend past the depth of your counter. A lot of people will say counter depth refrigerators are kind of small, but you can get them wider. To me, it keeps you from putting a lot of extra junk in there. And remember, if you're in a house with a lot of people, you are going to want to have maybe two refrigerators in your house, or you take the one and retire it to the garage like so many people do. You also want to make sure your refrigerator has some breathing space. So if you have a refrigerator where the doors just open a little bit side to side, you want to make sure that you're leaving at least a half an inch of space on each side and on top of the refrigerator so that it can cool down without overheating. You want to make sure that all the doors and drawers open without obstacles. You want to leave it about an inch between the back of your refrigerator and the wall, and even if it's going in a cabinet, and then, like I said, a half an inch on the sides and the top. And think about the flow in your kitchen. Think about the way you walk through your kitchen and where the refrigerator would be the most likely place to go in your refrigerator. I still like to keep that diamond shape in there between your oven, your sink, and your refrigerator. But you can't always do that, the triangle, as they call it. But you need to fit it in a space that fits with the flow of how you work your home, you know, from your entranceway to your hallway, how many entrances are into your kitchen. And if it's a tight squeeze, then you might want to consider reducing the depth of that refrigerator by at least 6 inches if it's really tight to get by. So those are really important things that we have going on with refrigerators. There's a lot out there. Like I said, there's lead times can be 6 months to a year. For those of you that, you know, maybe you're selling a home and you need to put a new refrigerator in, you can get what you want. But don't settle for something just because it's available now and you don't want to wait. Even if you have to wait a year, keep your old refrigerator, put it in the garage, put it in, you know, the sunroom or the porch or something like that in your house, and wait till the one that you want comes in. And if not, get a smaller apartment size refrigerator. Remember, you can always sell them off. there's always people looking, but top picks, like you heard me say, like, I love high-end refrigerators. I think they are totally worth the investment. I think high-end appliances are worth the investment because they seem to last longer. My house was built in 1987. I have the original Jennair stove in there. That sucker is still working. I've had to replace the knobs and things like that, but it works like a champ. The temperature is still accurate after how many years? So it's worth it. So some of those high-end models that you'll find out there are Sub-Zero, Thermador, Miele, Monogram, believe it or not, the LG Signature, Bosch, Jennair. Those are all of your top lines that are out there. There's the American-made brands, which we talked about on a previous show, like Woof and things like that. So there are some really super great refrigerators. And if I can't get hold of our interview today, then I'll bring that back next week and we'll talk about what's going on there. I told you there's a lot of stuff going on in today's show, and I want to get back to refrigerators, and we'll probably pick more of that back up. I am just saying computer issues, like, where's that coming from? anyway, I also want to let you know that I talked about Lowe's and the stuff that is going on with them right now and this amazing thing that they're doing within our community. And let me just pull that up real quick so I can share all of that information with you, because there's a lot. And I'm bummed because I really want to do that interview with my other girl, but I don't want to give away any of the information that she's talking about. So, okay, we'll see if we can't get them through today. And if not, then we'll bring them back later. So here's what's going on with Lowe's. And they've partnered with, let me just pull it up. They've partnered with Points of Light. And what they are doing is they are announcing right now on our show that they are doing a 5-year, $100 million commitment to complete nearly 1,800 community projects that impact your neighborhood per year. So they're building on the success that they had last year of 100 hometowns. And we're going to talk to... Let me get everybody right here. We are going to talk to Paul Holohan, who is the Chief Development Officer from Points of Light. And we're also going to be talking to, let me make sure I got this right, Marcia, I'm just looking, who is the CEO? Oh, there we go. So she wasn't on. Executive Director, Chief, I have to read the highlights ahead of time. Executive Vice President and Chief Brand and Marketing Officer, Julie Yenchek is joining us from Lowe's, and they're going to be telling us what's going on with this community project. And let's are you guys there?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Julie. Good morning, Paul. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. This is a perfect topic for our show, Home Improvements. Paul, for our listeners, can you tell us what Point of Light is so they understand this partnership with Lowe's?
Sure. Points of Light is a global nonprofit headquartered in Atlanta that mobilizes, inspires, equips, and mobilizes millions of people to take action that changes the world. And we're honored to be a partner with Lowe's, an impact partner on Hometowns, the program to help create impact in communities through projects.
Yeah, so $100 million over the next 5 years is a lot of money, Julie. What kind of projects are we looking at? How will you select these projects and who's eligible?
Sure. Well, to your point, we're really excited to make that commitment of $100 million over the next 5 years, because at Lowe's, our goal is to make homes and hometowns better for everybody. And so this is part of our commitment to serve the communities in which we live and work. And so the types of projects that we'll work with Points of Light on include housing projects, skilled trades projects, community renovations, community centers, parks, et cetera. Projects that will make a lasting impact in every community.
So how do you select those particular projects for each town that is entered?
Sure. So, Carol, first of all, we encourage everybody to nominate their project on Lowe's.com Hometowns. And then there will be a nomination period where people will, you know, share, like, what impact can this project make with the Philadelphia community. And so between Lowe's and Points of Light, we'll be evaluating all of the projects.
Aha, teamwork. I love it. Paul, will you be looking for volunteers for this?
We absolutely will. And so we'll have Lowe's employees in their red vests at projects participating, and community volunteers will also join them. So we're excited to create this opportunity in partnership with Lowe's to really help people engage to be problem solvers and create impact.
Do you guys have anybody particular who's involved that our listeners might be excited to know that is helping you guys out on this project?
Well, Carol, we're really excited that Bobby Burke is helping us with this project as our Lowe's Hometown Ambassador. And so Bobby will not only be doing a project in LA with a homeless shelter there, but he will also help at least one project that will be nominated by consumers. So Bobby will serve as a design expert for that project.
Nice. And you have your first project is slated for LA?
That's correct. Our first project is slated this summer in LA.
Okay, do you have a date for that so we can follow it and track it?
We don't have the exact date yet, but we certainly, Carol, will follow up with you and let you know when that project kicks off.
Oh, we would love that. And we'll be able to follow that through both the Lowe's website. And Paul, can we follow that through Points of Light as well?
Yes, we'll have Points of Light. We'll have the projects and activities and information on our site as well.
Take me through the process. I have a little local park here that I think would be amazing to have refaced, resurfaced, add more things for children. What would that process be like?
So, Carol, I would recommend that you nominate your project today on Lowe's.com/hometowns and put all of the information in there. We're looking for how much impact is this project going to have in the Philadelphia market? How, what exactly do you need? Because for this project, you know, as we partner with Points of Light, we're looking to have Red Vest, Lowe's Red Vest volunteers out there. We're looking to, you know, contribute in a whole host of different ways. So it's not just a check written to an organization. This is us putting, you know, our Red Vest volunteers to work, if you will. And so, you know, you could upload pictures or a video or anything to give us the reason, Carol, about why this park is so important to you and the entire community in Philadelphia and the impact that it will make.
So when our listeners or somebody like myself wants to send the information, we don't have to worry about the cost of the project. We just have to worry about what we would like to see added, how it would help, and what we need. We don't have to worry about any of the cost. That's up to you guys to figure that out, right?
Well, we would love to know, you know, what you think it may cost in order to do
okay.
If you have that information. But sometimes, you know, you may not have all of that information available. So we will work with Points of Light to get a site check and make sure that we can accomplish the project.
Julie, you had huge success. Both of you had a huge success last year. On 100 Hometowns, the program. Did you have anything that really stood out to you that you were like, thank God we did this, or this is just has made such an improvement? Is there any particular project?
You know, Carol, I've got to be honest with you. All 100 projects that we did in 2021 made such an impact. And they were all so different because they were all so local in what the local impact or needs of that particular community, you know, needed. I will say we were blown away at the impact that the collective group came together and made. So we were able to impact over 1.3 million people. And again, huge shout out to Points of Light, our partner here, that was able to make this impact with us. But, you know, every project is so different. So I really did not have a favorite.
Oh, that's good to know. And you can easily pull up the map from last year's projects and some of the projects and look at how dispersed it has been across the United States. So listeners, you know, there were definitely a lot of projects in our Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware area. So I want them to know about that. Paul, besides this project, how else can people get involved in Points of Light? It's amazing what you guys do.
Well, thank you for saying that. We, you know, our mission is to inspire, equip, and mobilize people to take action. And so they can go to the Points of Light website, pointsoflight.org, and see the ways that they can contribute. They can also look at our global affiliate map and connect with your local affiliate to see what's important in your community and the opportunities where people can volunteer and get involved.
Oh, that is so amazing. Now, do we have a deadline on this to get our projects in?
We do, Carol. We need everybody to apply by March 28th.
March 28th. All right, listeners, you heard it here. I thank both of you for joining us this morning. It's just so refreshing to know that we're bringing, beautifying our communities and doing great things for people. Is there any last information you want to share with our listeners?
Well, Carol, we certainly hope that we have projects coming in from Philadelphia. So we really appreciate your time today, and it was a pleasure talking with you.
We are going to push hard. Thank you both so much for joining us. Have a great week.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks so much. You too.
Okay. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
And we will keep talking to them again next week just to remind you about this project and all the things that you can do in your community. I think it's really important, especially when there's money out there and you have things that you want to do and you want to get those submitted in time. We're going to do our interview with Ms. Soto again next week because we're having a hard time connecting, but we were talking about refrigerators, and I wanted to let you know that Maytag.com does have a standard refrigerator size and measurement guide on their website. And it's just standard. Remember, every refrigerator measures differently. And remember, there's different tones of refrigerators and shades, like stainless steel and the charcoal stainless steel. Stainless steel is sometimes difficult to clean. So depending on whether it's real stainless steel or whether it's fake stainless steel, magnets do not stick to stainless steel, just so you know that. So if the magnet is sticking, I used to say this to people when they would go get sinks, kitchen sinks. I would say, put a magnet in your pocket when you're checking out the sink. It's not real stainless steel if the magnet sticks to it. It's mixed with other steel and other ingredients. So anyway, because we were running out of time and trying to get that interview through and they were just struggling to get that done, we're going to talk to her next week, and she is coming from Eggland's Best. So I definitely want to talk to Delana and see what she has to say about a refrigerator. So we're going to continue a little bit more of that. We're going to continue a little bit more of, you know, figuring out your refrigerator, because I have a lot more information, and we're going to continue more about Lowe's. So you'll hear a little bit more of the same information next week. But again, going back to refrigerators, there's so many things out there that go into play. It's the look and the aesthetics that you want in your kitchen. They've streamlined refrigerators in such amazing ways. So when you're in the store looking, pull those drawers out. Take a tape measure with you. They should be able to give you the specs or take down the model numbers so that you can look online. But what you really want to be able to do is open those doors, see how wide those doors are. You want to make sure that the hinges, how does that door open? Does that door open past the sides of the refrigerator, or does it set back into the door and open within the frame of the refrigerator? You're going to find that that's a big difference when you can pick up quite a few extra inches of counter space in your kitchen if that door opens and goes right back into the kitchen, you know, into the refrigerator sides without expanding past it. And I hope I'm making sense with what I'm saying, because I love that seamless look in your kitchen. You want to measure the drawers when you're standing there. I'm not so worried about like French doors on a refrigerator, but if you're doing a big full door, you want to open that door. You want to open the bottom drawers and measure that distance from the back of the refrigerator to when the door is fully open. And we're talking about the refrigerator door, not the freezer drawer so much. And the reason I say that is it's very rare that somebody stands in the very front of their freezer to get into it, because you can't reach all the way to the back when that door is open. At least I know it's hard for me, so I can approach it more from the side. So standard depths, as I told you, run 30 inches to 36 inches. There are bigger ones out there. If you're doing a counter depth refrigerator, they can run anywhere from 23 to 27 inches. And your high-end manufacturers seem to take this into consideration when they're doing their refrigerators. And another thing that you want to make sure that you're doing, take a look at your refrigerator. If it's been in your house for a while, you've had it in there for 5-10 years or so, take a look at the gaskets that go around your refrigerator. Are they getting moldy? Are you getting moisture within your refrigerator? So if those gaskets are getting moldy, and if you're getting moisture around the doors, you have to reset the settings for your refrigerator. Maybe you don't have the correct setting. Your refrigerator should be at about 37 degrees, which is the right temperature. If you have it too low or too high, it could cause you to get moisture around your doors. And if those gaskets are really black and gross looking, it means that you are getting moisture around that refrigerator. Take a microfiber cloth and some vinegar and water, maybe a magic eraser and some cleaners, and clean all those gaskets and get rid of all the mold that's in there. It's just gross. And depending on who your power company is, if you're in the listening area of PECO, PECO will pick up your old refrigerator for and they'll pay you $75 to take your old refrigerator away. And I know that other electric companies do that as well. It's just a matter of going to their website and finding out what they will give you to pick up the refrigerator and take it away. So $75 in your pocket. So here's what's really cool too. You can also go on PECO and find out what rebates they give you for refrigerators, and your electric companies will do that as well. So you could end up saving a good $150 on the refrigerator you're buying by getting rid of your old one and being able to get a rebate on the new one. So next week, I just want to remind you, we're bringing a little bit of this back because I didn't have a chance. I told you there was so much going on this week. Didn't have a chance to talk about everything, and we'll bring our girl back next week and we'll talk about refrigerators again. Thank you so much for listening, and thanks for your messages. You've been listening to Home Improvement Fix and Facts with Carol Holloway. See you next week.